Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it is me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we have Deborah James.
Hello.
AKA Bowel Babe.
Yes, possibly the best Instagram handle I've ever heard. Bowel Babe. I mean, it's...
Are you a DJ?
No, well,
DJ Bowel Babe.
DJ Bowel Babe. Unfortunately, it's trying to mix a bit of sex and poo together.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a niche thing, but there are people who are into it. I've been on the internet.
I don't want to go on the internet ever again if it's like that.
Yes. No. So introduce yourself, Deborah. Who are you?
Who am I? That's a good question. I sometimes ask myself that question. So I am a mum of two. I'm 36 years old. I have to remember my age. 36 years old. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. And in my previous life, if we want to call it that, I was a deputy head teacher of a secondary school and worked in education for 15 years and lived and breathed it. And then about a year ago, kind of world fell apart and got struck with cancer. And now I write about it and very open about it and write a column for The Sun.
And it is bowel cancer you've got. I mean, it would be weird if your Instagram name was Bowel Babe and you actually had lung cancer or liver cancer. That would be slightly odd.
Yeah, it'd be confusing.
Absolutely. I think it's
you're going
really
up the
funny.
Wrong path, yeah. Literally.
Most people, the first thing people say to me is, oh, when I say to them, oh, I've got cancer, they're like, oh, is it breast cancer? And I'm like, well, no.
Because that's the lady cancer.
That is the lady cancer. And funny enough, Bowel Babe as my image is very pink because you would never associate pink with bowel cancer. And so when I then tell people that you've got that I've got bowel cancer, they're like, oh, wasn't that a 69-year-old man?
Which
is always nice. And I'm like, well, no, actually, funny enough, I've met loads of girls who are kind of, you know, hot, attractive, fit, who've all got bowel cancer.
What do they expect you to say to that? Oh my God, maybe you're right. There must have been a terrible mistake. I shall demand a mammogram immediately. There's nothing wrong with my colon. It's perfectly fine.
It's upside down.
Yes.
No, it is my tits. Chop off the wrong part of my body.
It was throat, not anus. Oh man. Oh, damn it.
I think I obviously met the wrong physician and I think he might have had a butt fetish.
My father-in-law had bowel cancer and he's the poster boy, really. You know, yes. He's in his 70s. That's bowel cancer.
That's bowel cancer. And unfortunately,
he's got an Instagram account called Bowel Dude, of course, isn't he?
I should hook up with him. He sounds great.
Yeah, no, he's great. Yeah. So when did you first sort of get an inkling that something was wrong? Because let's be honest, that's what everyone wants to know, really. Have I got it, Deborah?
Have I got it?
It's never about you.
It's about me.
Suddenly becomes about them.
It's amazing. So I, actually, can I just be really honest with you? I get now sent pictures of people's poo.
Oh, yeah.
So I've suddenly...
What do you think you are? Gillian fucking McKee?
Oh, you know, suddenly I've had to Google what's normal poo. And
Bristol,
I'm like,
it's the Bristol scale.
But the first thing people ask me is, well, how do you know? And I was really, really busy. I was like busy mum of two, working full time, running around. And then suddenly I started to lose weight, but I put it down to like my trying to kick ass in the gym. And then the second thing was...
My ass was being kicked by cancer, it turned out.
And the worst thing is that I thought my ass looked quite good because I was losing weight. Which unfortunately is one of the other signs. So I was losing a bit of weight. My ass was being kicked. I was bloody knackered, to be honest with you. But then everyone, every mum is knackered, aren't they? So you kind of drink a gin and tonic and then you think it's fine.
Thought of going to the GP and going, I'm really knackered, and then imagining him or her just laughing in our face. Like, yeah. That's, you know.
I feel tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, really fine.
Tired. Have you been sleeping? No. Have you been drinking? Yes. Yeah.
And that's what happens. And then the big thing for me is I basically started shitting blood. And the first thing you do is you Google, you know, what happens when you shit blood, and it automatically says you have bowel cancer, and then you have a meltdown. But funny enough, when I went to my GP and started saying, you know, I'm passing blood, they tell you that you've got hemorrhoids.
Oh, that's...
Which is nice. Yeah,
that's so, not cancer.
Which is not cancer. So then you... Then, if you're me, you kind of have a really, really good look at your ass in the mirror. And you realise that you don't have hemorrhoids, so you can't see the bloody things. And then you keep on going back to the GP. And it was only when I showed my GP pictures of my poo.
Right.
That they then suddenly went, oh yeah, actually, maybe you've got something wrong. And then finally got referred to see something. But it is like, you know, most people come to me and say, well, maybe it's IBS. You know, maybe I'm just run down. But I would say if it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Keep on going back, really.
Yeah. Oh, good grief. So then you had the diagnosis, and what's that like? What's it like being told that yes, you do have it? I mean, so you had an inkling.
Absolutely, I had an inkling. But funny enough, because it's quite unusual for somebody my age to have it. I mean, it's not unheard of.
You're saying you're special, Deborah, aren't you? Yeah. You're of saying course. You're really special.
Well, actually, lucky you.
I thought this is brilliant. I thought, right, look at the statistics. I thought it must be one in a million. Must be one in a million. Everybody wants to be one in a million. No, it's quite common, apparently. Unfortunately, like...
Damn it!
In our lifetime, about one in 16 of us will get bowel cancer.
Really?
Yeah, which is so common. So if you think about that as a lifetime statistic, I was thinking, oh, you know, it must be really unusual. But there's about 2,500 people who under the age of 50 are diagnosed, which is on par with kind of like testicular cancer, other cancers, which we know quite a lot about.
Underpants cancers. Let's put them under that umbrella.
Absolutely. And gynecological cancers as well.
So one in 16. Like... Well, I know about 14 other women, and now I know you, so it's not going to be me because you've got it. So that's all right, isn't it?
That's
exactly reassuring.
Thanks, Deborah.
That's all right. No problem at all. But as soon as you're told, as soon as you're diagnosed, it's almost like, I look back now and it's kind of comedy, but scary as hell. So you're told that they think it might be cancer. And I just screamed. I just went, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And then me and my husband literally drove to the wine shop, brought the most expensive bottle of wine that we could possibly find, and got absolutely annihilated. Because it's the only way you can handle it, to be honest with you.
Was it obviously dreadful news, but was there one thing in particular of all the dreadful things? Obviously, then was it the worry about the chemo? Was it the worry about mortality? Like, what was the big...
I think for me, the worry was, my journey that I had is that actually they thought it was benign tumour to start with. So I went very quickly in the space of about 3 months from going through lots of different tests, then suddenly finding that I'd gone from thinking it was benign tumour, maybe I just need the fucker cut out.
Yeah.
Get it out! So I actually went into the operation a year ago, almost to the day. Went into the operation thinking, oh, we'll just get this fucker out. I thought I'd be back at work like 2 weeks later. Mm. All be fine. Then it transpired that not only had it spread into my lymph nodes, when I then got referred to the Marsden, because as soon as, with bowel cancer, as soon as it's gone into your lymph nodes, you need to have a bit of chemo. As soon as I then went to the Marsden and they kind of did more tests, they realised that it had gone to my lungs as well. So I went from like stage one with statistics being really good. If I was a woman, if I'm a woman in the UK and I have stage one bowel cancer, actually I have nearly 100% survival rate, which is ridiculous because basically it's caught really early and cut it out. And my statistics for a 5-year survival dropped in the space of 3 months from nearly 100% down to less than 1 in 10%.
I mean, that's not ideal.
Which is not ideal. So you suddenly, like you get hell-bent on these statistics and you can't stop looking at them. And you Google and Google and Google, and you realise that they're never going to get any better. And you realise that actually that, it's because it's quite, it's a very serious disease. And unfortunately, when it's caught late, so when it's spread... The statistics are, less than 1 in 10 people survive.
Mm.
yep. which is scary when you look at that.
Yeah, that is that. But
I'd be buying a bottle of wine, mate. Yeah. Have you anything that costs £6,000?
No, okay. Just put it all in the trunk.
Yeah, people ask me why I still drink alcohol, and I think, oh, if you have my statistics, you would still be drinking alcohol.
I mean, when I met you before, you said that to me, that some people are very judgy about the fact that you're still drinking, and
absolutely,
you know, fuck them, right?
Fuck them. I think genuinely you have to do whatever will get you through, because mentally, when you are faced with that staring at you in the face, and there's nothing you can do to change it, you just think, fuck it, I'm going to make the most of what I've got.
Absolutely.
That includes drinking wine and margaritas. That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nice of them to think, you know, Deborah's obviously, you know, got this terrible disease. It's very frightening.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is judge some of her lifestyle choices. That'll definitely help her out.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's really kind. That's good.
Yeah.
So you're saying, so a year ago you went and had the operation.
Yeah.
And so have you been doing chemotherapy since then?
Pretty much ever since. So I started chemotherapy in the February, and I'm still on chemotherapy now, with the hope that I've still got some tumours in my lungs.
Okay.
So I've had 19 rounds of chemotherapy, and to be honest with you, I am fucked as a result. I'm knackered, and I do take wine in to have chemotherapy, because I lose...
Take cocaine, take whatever you want.
take everything.
Jesus.
I have a very unusual reaction when they put the drugs in. It's almost comical in that I actually lose my ability to speak. So when...
It's almost comical, Deborah, but also it sounds fucking terrifying.
It's almost comical. Imagine having 10 gin and tonics and a couple of shots that are just pumped into your system immediately, and you start going...
I mean, I've been there,
that's me on a Saturday night. Yeah,
and when you look at yourself in the mirror, you realise that your mouth is starting to kind of slide a bit. Yeah.
Helen Daniels when she had the stroke.
Absolutely, yeah. Spot on.
Nightmare.
And you kind of look at yourself, and you know when you're trying really hard to speak, and it's not quite coming out. That is what it's like.
So it's like being really, really pissed, but without
really
the fun.
Pissed. Without
sort of
the fun.
Build up. Karaoke, yeah. Dancing on the tables,
without
getting
the fun.
Off with the milkman. I don't know what you do on your nights out. I'm not judging you.
The worst thing is that as soon as it stops, it's like bloody hangover kicks in.
So that's the thing.
So you do this, and then the hangover kicks in, and you can't even sleep because you're on steroids. So you're kind of going crazy at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's kind of like it is a bit of a mental head screw, to be perfectly honest with you. So I'm still on chemo at the moment. I'm hoping, I'm praying for in the next month or so to have a break, because I think my body, I mean, yesterday I had an exploding ulcer, an exploding, you know, everything is just, yeah, I've got to the point where I just need to have a bit of a break. But it's a battle, because you don't want to have a break and then the cancer to go everywhere.
Yeah.
So I do need to weigh up at the moment.
How does the chemo actually work? Because you talk about chemo. I always thought that you were in some kind of radiation bubble. But what's involved? You're just sitting in a chair having some chemicals plugged into you.
You can't say, I'm just showing you guys, but I actually have a port implanted into me, so I've become a bit of a robot, which is really nice. I can't go through scanners anymore.
Oh,
in the airport, it's quite good, so I can smuggle whatever the fuck
you're
I
like
want
the
places.
Terminator with a dodgy bowel.
Absolutely. So I'm full of like bits and bobs, but I have a port which is essentially like, you know when you have a blood test, and they draw out some blood from a needle? If they had to do that every time, or pump, you know when they pump stuff into you,
essentially
my veins would collapse because it's just too
is
much.
Is that called a cannula?
Yeah, like a cannula, absolutely. Yeah. So I have a port that is directly linked to one of my central veins, and that's how I get chemo. And so what happens, you go into hospital for a day, and they just, through your port, pump you full of drugs.
Yeah,
full of drugs, and it's not just like the chemotherapy drugs, it's all the drugs to counteract all the side effects. So it's like anti-sickness and steroids and all these different things. And then you leave.
You're mixing your drinks, Deborah. That's why you're feeling sicky.
You're mixing
your WKDs with your rum and cokes with your beer.
The come down is hideous.
I bet.
Absolutely hideous. And then I spend 3 days attached to a portable pump that I take around. And then I can take the pump to the pub if I want to. And then I'm disconnected. And then 14 days later, it starts all over again.
Oh, fuck. So the thing is, so again, this is a really numpty thing to say, but you don't look like a person in the movies who's having chemotherapy.
She's got hair. Ellie's got hair.
Long, lustrous hair. Yes. You look like you're in Girls Aloud at their prime.
She's wearing leather trousers, Ellie.
Yeah, I mean, she's got leather leggings. She's got a Scamp and Dude t-shirt on, big earrings.
You
look very tanned and sort of healthy, and you look... Yep. You know.
But this is the misconception.
Right.
So this is the thing that I kind of bang on about probably in my columns or whatever it is, because everybody goes, oh, you don't look like you've got cancer. And so I'm like, well, what the fuck does cancer look like? Because this is the problem. Most cancer is portrayed in this really dark, grey, like depressing way. And it is depressing and it is really hard. But not all cancer is like that, and I'm faced with, like, I've just told you my statistics, you know, my statistics are as worse as they come. You can't get any worse than mine, pretty much. But yet
again, she's showing off.
You know, come on, if you're gonna have cancer, you may as well go hardcore. You know, just fucking go all out.
Go
just go for it.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, you know, it doesn't mean that it's the first question everybody says is, well, you haven't lost your hair. And it's just because of the treatment that I'm on. It doesn't make it any less harsh.
Yeah.
It's just
a different kind of chemo.
But I do think it's quite important, because when I look in the mirror and I look ill, you feel ill.
Yeah.
And you feel even worse than what you actually do. And I think, so for me, getting dressed and putting on some lipstick and feeling a bit kind of normal...
Yeah.
Is really important. And I think it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling kind of... Yeah. Thing.
Act it, and then act, or is it fake it till you make it?
Fake it till you make it.
As my husband said to me last night.
No, I'm joking.
Joking, of course.
I wasn't allowed to speak during that time. Anyway,
silence.
Hush now.
Yes. Carry on. No, left. Stop. But is there any part of you that's angry? Because as you're saying, you know, you're quite sort of late stage cancer, and you did go in and you were told it was hemorrhoids. Are you angry about that?
No, I think I could be really, really angry about it. And I think I would be angry if other people are experiencing that. But I think the reality is that if I was sat in the GP's position, I would look at me and go, well, you're quite fit and healthy, you're a mum or two, of course you're knackered. And it goes back to, like, what you were saying in terms of, well, just go and have a gin and tonic, you'll be fine. But I do think the perception, I think it does need to change, and people do need to be diagnosed a lot quicker. But I'm not massively angry about my situation. I get angry now, but that's because of the steroids that I'm on.
Right. Okay, great. So you're
like the whole
yes.
Don't make me angry.
Do not make me angry. I bit the head off of a parking attendant the other day. I bite the head off of everyone just generally, and then I blame the steroids, and then my husband reminds me that I was like that before steroids.
I think you should, you know, like, you have the baby on board, you should have the cancer on board.
Do you know, funny enough, there's a
button.
They're bringing that out.
Are they?
They are bringing that out. But I was thinking, I don't know whether I want to wear it. I don't know. Might give it a go.
You never know. If you get a seat, I don't mind when people think I'm pregnant. I'm very happy to sit down. Very, always happy to sit down. Now, so you sort of come out now as a cancer... Yeah. Cancer champ?
I'm a cancer chick. Mum, Dad, I've got something to tell you. I've been having these funny feelings in my ass, and yes, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the closet. I've got bum cancer.
Yes.
My name is Deborah, and I have cancer.
Yes.
Of the bum.
Yeah.
And yes, somebody did have to go up it to cut out.
Oh, yes. Wow. I mean, well, give Helen Hoff a bottle of Southern Comfort. She'll let someone go up there just for laughs.
True facts, not funny.
So your kids are 8 and 10. How much do they know about what's going on? Because obviously they must see you.
Yeah,
poorly.
They know everything. They see me sick, and they get really worried. Like yesterday, I was really sick, and they were really worried about it. But they also quite like Belle Babe, because they think that she's way fun than Mum.
And you mean like your online persona?
Yeah, they get involved. They read my columns. Because
right.
the problem is that I just thought the best way with my kids is just to be really honest with them, and really open about everything. Because the reality is that, you know, you can't hide it. You can't hide the fact that you have cancer.
Especially at 8 and 10, they're wily. They're fucking wily.
They know about it.
They've got the smarts. They're on the internet. They can read, which is fucking irritating.
Why did we do that? That was an error.
Yeah. I'm annoyed with myself.
So you can't. I cannot hide anything from them, to the point that, unfortunately, I do have a bit of a tendency to occasionally take my clothes off and pose. You know, it happens to you. If you've undergone loads of operations, you right. go from going, I hate my body, to going, woohoo! Tits out, skull
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
yeah.
my body, and you suddenly become really proud of everything that's gone through. But the problem is that I then have the issue of my 10-year-old son going, "Mummy, why are you naked again?" And we were watching Channel 4 News the other day, and I'd done this film with somebody about Behind the Scars Project, and it was, which is basically about showing off your scars, body positivity. It was amazing. And we literally just sat down watching the news, and Hugo went, "Oh, Mummy, I can see your tummy on the screen," and then walked out.
Oh, bless.
This is quite bad. But yeah, with kids, I think you just have to be really honest and open. I don't
have, have you told them the statistic? Have you told them what?
No, I haven't. Right. That's the one thing I haven't told them is the statistic. And I think they know it's really serious. But I mean, my oncologist doesn't know whether I'm going to survive or die.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more positive than I am. And you know, none of us know, to be honest, what's going to happen. So I'm, you know, until somebody says to me, "Sorry, love, your time's up," and you know, X, Y, and Z is going to happen. I'm not having that conversation with them.
I mean, do you have any idea of if that is how it ends up, will you have a warning? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm hoping that I'm treated at the Marsden. They're absolutely amazing.
They're like in a world class.
Yeah, they're just incredible, by a really experienced team who, they don't beat around the bush. They're really honest with your prognosis, and they're really honest with, you know, well, in this circumstance you might have X number of years or whatever. I haven't had that conversation with anyone, so okay. I think until I you know, well, let's hope I never have to.
No, yeah.
But as my oncologist says, it's one step at a time. And you know, my view is, if I can kick the can down the road, or if they can kick the can down the road, you just never know what's around the corner. So I could benefit from the next amazing drug or whatever it might be, in a year's time, because suddenly something will come out. So you just kind of, you just don't know.
Yeah. Mm. So at the moment, the chemo seems to be working.
Touch wood, at the moment, all of us touch wood.
Yeah, yeah.
At the moment, my last scan, which was in November, was stable. I always thought, like, every time I get a scan back, I'm gutted that the bloody tumours haven't shrunk, and I'm like, oh, but I realise it's better than them not growing.
Yeah.
Mm. So stable is good. If I continue to be stable, then I have a chance of being operated on to get out the remaining tumours. Then it would be a case of, like, watching and waiting to see what happens. And it's going to come back. Like, unfortunately, I have a type of cancer that will come back. But it's just a case of pouncing on it as soon as it, you know, kill the fucker. As soon as it comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, you know, just seeing what happens. So.
Yeah, amazing. And in terms of your, because you've got, you were saying you posted something quite honest yesterday.
Yeah.
You've got this amazing kind of support online, but have you got who else is around you, you know?
Yes,
obviously you've got your mum cleaning up your sick, you were
absolutely
saying.
My mum was cleaning up my sick. She's not allowed to wipe my arse, though. That's just like a step too far.
No, I don't like people touching my bottom either, Deborah.
I'd be like, get involved. This is a perfect excuse. I've waited my whole life to be rich enough to pay someone to wipe my arse. It's never gonna happen.
Outsource the ice after.
Yeah, let's outsource it. Yeah, I'd do it with £50 notes. Yeah,
fuck it.
Why not?
I mean, I try to outsource everything in my life, but arse wiping is
the thing.
I'm keeping that one for myself. So my husband is brilliant, so he's around loads. I just have really good friends and family, to be honest with you. Like, my sister lives around the corner from me, she's brilliant. And my brother's good for just going, "Come on, mate, get on with it."
What are you waiting for? It's just fucking cancer. Cheer up.
Yeah, come on.
Cancer.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. Make me a sandwich.
My brother is 10 years younger than me, and he's brilliant, but he is very much like that.
What advice would you give to someone who's maybe got a friend or a family member going through cancer? Like, what have you found other people doing that's helpful or perhaps not helpful? Like, what should people not do?
So that's a good question. So it's really personal, but I'm very, very open about stuff, but a lot of people are not. So it's kind of, A, don't expect people to share as much as what's actually going on. For me, the most helpful stuff is when people actually just do things without asking. Because when somebody says to me, "What can I do to help?" I'm like, "I don't know." Like, I actually don't know. So, but
thinking of something then becomes another job.
It becomes another job. But actually, if somebody just rocks up with, food, or somebody just says, oh, we're going to the cinema then, should we just do this? Or just treat people as normal, like go to the pub and just doing regular stuff, I think is the best thing to be able to do. Because suddenly if you're kind of doing things that feel forced that you wouldn't normally do in that friendship because you have cancer, then that's just a bit weird.
Let's all go to church on Sunday morning. fuck you Really. So you're this sort of normal mum and teacher, and then, like, you have this terrible diagnosis, and then you're like, fuck it, I know, I'll become an Instagram sensation. I mean, that's the logical progression, yes. Deborah.
That is my aim. My aim is actually to take over the world, but, you know, one step at a time. So Instagram first, then a few columns, then...
What inspired you? What made you think, that's what I want to do, I want to write about this online? Because lots of people would just keep it to themselves.
Yeah, so I was really blessed, because I was part of a teaching community. Everyone just wants to know how you are in the nicest possible way. But actually, I found it really tiring. I don't mean this to be rude, but I found it really tiring responding to and almost updating everybody with, oh, I'm fine. Yes. You know, I'm not shitting myself every 3 hours right now. Oh, yes, I'm fine. I haven't thrown up today. And, you know, it's lovely because people just care and they want to know. But actually, it's really knackering. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to write about it. And I've never really written in that capacity before. I'm actually really dyslexic and I find it really hard. I used to find it really hard to write. But when you've got something to write about, it's amazing how... comes out of your mouth.
And well, at least something's flying out of your mouth for a change.
Absolutely. I was going to say way better than the arse. But in terms of... So I decided that I wanted to write under a character that was the polar opposite to what you expect bowel cancer to be like, which was essentially Bowel Babe. And then I realised it was available on Instagram and on Twitter, which is always good.
Unbelievably.
And funny enough, I was totally high in the hospital on morphine, and I was like, I think I was tripping out going, oh, maybe I'll become Bowel Babe. And then I was, and then you have this moment where you realise every handle is available.
Yeah,
and
man.
It's like,
hey, I'm here, I'm ready to go. Right,
like Hunter S. Thompson realising we're all lizards. It sounds brilliant.
But then I did the worst thing in that I connected it to my school account. And when you register as a new user on Instagram or Twitter, it can, if you press the wrong button when you're high on drugs in hospital, send out a message to everybody to say, your friend, Bowel Babe, has just registered. But I connected it to a parental account, which went out to 1,000 parents.
Oh, good. Excellent.
That said, your friend, Bowel Babe, has just registered.
And what is like, going on at this school?
Fuck! You're then like, oh, now I need to do something about it. So it was almost
but
like...
I'm so high. Oh, I just want to go to the 24-hour garage and get Lucozade and Mars bars. I don't know what to do.
So you're kind of like forced to then become this person. You're like, oh, now I need to actually write because I've just told 1,000 people.
Damn it!
Damn! So I just started writing, and then I found the response was really positive, and then started writing. I was really blessed. Met some people who gave me an opportunity to start writing publicly about cancer, which I think is an amazing privilege actually to do, because there are, and I know this through Instagram, in that my story is not unique. There are hundreds, thousands, millions of people. There are a million mums in the UK living with cancer at the moment, and I feel that what I say is probably reflective of what anyone is going through. So I don't think my story is different. I don't think my attitude is different. I think that I've just been really lucky to have a platform in which to write about it, and kind of just getting a response and other people sharing stories with me about what they're going through as well. And that helps me, to be honest with you. So it really helps me when somebody says, oh, but, you know, I was told I had 3 months to live and I'm here 20 years later.
That's awesome.
Which
that's
is really nice.
Yeah.
And also when you're having a really crap day and you post something on whatever platform it might be, and even if you get one comment or one like or whatever it might be, you know that there's another person with you in those really crappy moments. So I do think it's got lots of positives that have come about.
I found that thing is, when I had a premature baby, loads of people, everyone wants to say to you all the time, oh, my cousin was 9 weeks early, or my brother, or my dad, or my... And like, once someone says to me, sorry, you must hear this all the time. And I was like, yes, but I love
it's
it.
Nice.
Please.
Yeah, yeah, please. Yeah,
you know, and they say, oh, now they're fine. And now they're 7'9". And and they, you know, they run the Brazilian embassy. I don't know. And you're like, yes, no, please keep
just
telling
tell
me that.
Just tell me. Because I think the problem is that in the media, and I know I'm part of this, is that there are so many negative stories. So really, let's face it, like, that's what makes a good story, is that, you know, I was misdiagnosed and now I'm going to die. You know, that is the classic headline. And it does. You, to be honest, you need those stories to make people stand up to think about things and to go, oh, shit, that could be me. But at the same time, you know, the scaremongering that goes on around cancer, and don't get me wrong, it is shit. But there's also a positive side that I think can be portrayed much better in the media, kind of on social platforms. And I do know that, you know, a lot of people are trying to do that and trying to change the way that people look at cancer. Yeah. It's like, oh, what, you still wear lipstick? Oh, what, you still wear heels? Well, yeah, just because you have cancer doesn't mean you can give up your shoe fetish.
Yeah.
You know, so it is kind of like, I do think there's a bit of work that needs to be done in that area.
Yeah.
And you've been part of some campaigns. Did you do a campaign last year for Cancer Research UK?
Oh, that was so much fun with some of our fellow Instagrammers.
Yes. Tell us about that. What was the name of the campaign?
So it was for Stand Up to Cancer, and it is very much, it's in collaboration with Channel 4, so there's lots of programming. So you might have seen like loads of programs, and beforehand they do a bit of kind of, you know, cancer stories or whatever it might be.
The Great British Cancer Off, they do that.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
Big Cancer, it's like Big Brother, but everyone's got cancer. My Two Cancers. Bringing that back from the 90s.
That's right. The Naked really nice. Cancer is my favourite. Yeah. Yes, good.
That is my favourite one.
So you were the Rebel Squad, and
we
so
were
you
Rebel Squad. We got to dress up
photo shoot. Yeah,
we did. We got to dress up in our. We had to choose our favourite Rebel, so I choose Boudica. Well, Boudica. It depends how you pronounce it. Boudica or Boudica.
Yes, that one.
Boudica. That one.
Ask her. She can't pronounce barbecue properly.
Essentially, I chose her because actually she rides naked on a chariot.
Yes.
Like waving her sword around. And I kind of figured if she was in modern day history, you know, modern day life, she'd probably still ride naked, just shouting, fuck you, cancer.
Yeah.
However, when I turned up, the stylists decided that I did have to wear clothes.
Oh, disappointing.
Disappointing.
The fun police were out again.
The fun police were out, but no, it was cool. I got to wear, like, some big tartan thing, and I got to wear a big ginger wig, which I thought was brilliant.
Yes. That sounds like a, well, good Saturday night in my house.
So, it was definitely fun, and there were lots of us involved in it, which was really cool.
So what's the plan for 2018? Because you wrote a post about New Year recently.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I'm still undergoing treatment. So I would have, you know, in an ideal world, it's one of those things where you know, when you dream about writing these posts, New Year, I'm cancer free. Woohoo! Yeah, no, it didn't happen. New Year, back on chemo in 2 days. It's just like, so I don't think I will get that opportunity, but I have got some fun opportunities. So I'm writing a book at the moment, which is out later in the year. So I can't reveal too much about it, but I've just got to write.
Is it about cancer?
It is about cancer. It is about cancer.
No, it's about golf.
Oh, see, there's the link.
But yeah, so that's my, I would say that's my project for 2018. Obviously, just to survive is on my big to-do list. I think I put that as, what is your New Year's resolution? My New Year's resolution is to live. And people love,
one.
Which is always a good one. And it's just to kind of just carry on enjoying life, actually, as much as I can between my treatment. And to continue to get involved. So I work a lot with Bowel Cancer UK, who I think are a brilliant charity, and Cancer Research. And I think continuing to raise awareness of not just bowel cancer, but like living with cancer and what that means. You know, unfortunately, one in two of us are going to have cancer. So if you're sitting at 8 o'clock on a Saturday evening and with your kids, and in the middle of X Factor, an advert comes on where the person is, you know, it's all grey and dull and the person's dying of cancer, or if you're a family of four, two of you is going to get cancer. So that's not really...
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal, is it? When you're sitting there with stage four cancer with your kids. But I do think that they, you know, we can flip that message a little bit and be like, yeah, it is really scary. But with research, with the right money, we can still make massive advances. So I think it's about changing that a little bit.
How much, can I ask you, and if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. How much do you personally think about death and your own death, and how do you feel about it?
So I think about it probably too much. But I would say, so what happens is I have moments in my life where I don't think about it. Honestly, like I think I wrote a column about this where I lived with massive, massive anxiety, like panic attacks. You know, I've done CBT, I've done everything in my past to manage this anxiety. And ironically, my anxiety was about health. And my worst case scenario when I didn't have cancer was to get cancer and to know that you might die. And then lo and behold, what happened to me? It was almost like I had this premonition. And then lo and behold, I got cancer and, you know, I might now know if I'm going, you know, I might know that I'm going to die. And I think when you're first diagnosed, all you can think about is dying. Like that was the only thing I could think about. And you go into an incredibly dark place. I mean, you know, I went into a place where I didn't shower for about 3 weeks, a couple of weeks. And like some of my friends had to come and go, "Deborah, you really fucking smell. Get out of bed." And you literally go into this dark, horrible hole. And then you kind of come out of it and you kind of go through the motions of treatment and you get a bit better and you kind of think, "Oh, actually, I'm living. I can do this shit. You know, I've got it under control." And then you might have a scan. And you're thinking, oh my God, am I what? You live between scans when you're a cancer patient and you kind of think, I'm one scan away from being told this could be the start of the end. And, you know, right now, if truth be told, I'm probably in that phase because I know I've got a scan coming up and I'm thinking, just because I was stable last time, it doesn't mean I'm going to be stable this time because it just doesn't work like that. You know, chemo can stop working at any point, you know, things can change and they can change in the matter of weeks. And, you know, cancer is unfair like that. So you suddenly go back into this, I'm going to die, I'm petrified of dying, I'm petrified of leaving my kids. And so absolutely, like, and then you suddenly have to pull back from it again because the problem is that when you go into that place, you can't function, like you can't do anything. So it is, to be honest with you, the physical is really hard. And trust me, when you're shitting and it's a ring of fire, it's, you know, shitting and vomiting is really hard. But then the mental is just as hard. The mental side of things is just a constant battle all the time. I don't have a solution to it. But I think it's almost being kind to yourself to know it's okay to feel crap one day, really depressed the next day, and on a bloody high the next day.
Would that be your note? I mean, it sounds facetious after what you've just said, but we'd like to ask people to give like a nugget of wisdom, someone going through the same thing. Would that be your thing?
Just be kind to yourself, I think, and to not have, it's not about having really high expectations, but I think some people want to just feel okay all the time, and I think it's actually to know that it's okay not to be okay. And I have had days. I've had 3 days in a row where I Uber Eats McDonald's for breakfast, lunch and dinner because that's all I wanted to eat.
Fine.
And I watched like back-to-back episodes of Friends on Netflix.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Lifesaver. Yeah. And I was suddenly thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm going into the dark depths of depression. You know, and I was really having a go at myself. And then I suddenly thought, Deborah, you've done like X amount of chemo. Give yourself a break.
Yeah.
If you want to be in bed for 3 days, be in bed for 3 days. And I think, to be honest with you, that is a much better way of dealing with it.
You're an amazing person, Deborah. Let me just say that.
Truly. I do like a woman who can, you know, start on Instagram and write a book and have a newspaper column and also sit around in her pants watching Netflix. You are our people, Deborah.
She's every woman. She's a bit of McDonald's.
Oh, I love a McDonald's.
We do. Although I'm vegetarian. Can I just say this? So this is the irony.
So what do you eat?
Well, this is the irony. Everyone's like, aren't you vegetarian? So I've been vegetarian. So I'm the bowel cancer sufferer that's been vegetarian for 25 fucking years. I mean, the irony.
All the irony, yes.
Ridiculous.
All right, done.
Yeah. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, is it time for a game now, Ellie?
I'm definitely in the mood.
Let's do it. We've done cancer and death.
We've done cancer and death.
An amusing game. That's what I thought. I'm having a swearing game because Deborah's quite fond of a swear.
Oh, yeah.
She's saying, I've taken some favourite mum books and mum blogs.
Awesome.
And we're going to swear them. We're going to upgrade them to the swear jar.
Oh, I love this. Okay, brilliant.
Okay, so do you want me to do a little... So what I've got here is a bowl of well-known parenting titles and then a couple of swears that you're going to add to it. So I'm going to go first, all right, just two examples. So this is how to grow up blank and push it out by blank Hooper. So I'm going to choose two swears. Here we go. So it says how to grow a motherfucker and push it out by Ass Licker Hooper.
Yeah,
who wouldn't want to buy that
this
book?
Is brilliant.
All right. I have a go.
Yeah, you have a go.
I'm just gonna read it all out in one go.
Okay.
Hurrah for Gash by Katie Arsehole.
That's brilliant.
Hurrah for Gash.
Hurrah for Gin by Katie Kirby.
Okay.
Who, again, close personal friend. She'll enjoy that.
Happy Mum, Happy Balls by Dick Fletcher.
Yes.
I love it. The Unmumsy Cunt by Sarah Bastard.
We love you, Sarah Turner. Here we go.
Okay, go.
The Contented Little Cock by Gina Fuckface. Gina Fuckface is an excellent name, Gina Ford, I think.
Gina Fuckface.
That is brilliant.
Oh, your turn, Deborah.
Don't Buy Her Bollocks by Steph Fuckwit.
Now we know Steph Douglas from Don't Buy Her Flowers listens to this podcast. So, Stephanie, you're fuckwit.
Don't buy her bollocks.
Yeah. I'm not going to be buying her bollocks.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay.
That's such a good one.
Would you guys do the last one, Deborah?
So do this one.
Why not?
Letters to My Whore by Sherry Ass Bandit.
There we go.
Letters to My Whore.
You're welcome, Cherry Healy. I would very much like to see Inside the Factory with Greg Wallace and Cherry Ass Bandit. I would be well up for that. That sounds brilliant.
That is a brilliant game.
Very welcome.
Has anyone got a scummy mummy confession for us this episode?
My only confession is that I currently have 16 unpaid parking fines.
Oh, that's quite scummy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why have you done that? Is it just because you just don't give a fuck anymore?
Just don't give a fuck.
No. I like that. What are they going
to
do?
And I was thinking, could I use the whole cancer thing? And I tried to use it and it was kind of... Well, I actually had some comeback from somebody that was exactly the kind of comeback that I would have done with. Just because if you have cancer doesn't mean you can't pay a fine. I was like, that is a very good point. And then put it into the pile of unpaid parking fines. And
I think it does, mate. I think you're fine. I wouldn't fucking take you to court. Jesus. I mean, really. Who's got time for that?
Take me to court on a steroid day and you will lose.
So that's your confession, basically. You're exploiting your own cancer to park wherever the fuck you want.
And I was doing it before I had cancer and now I have a fucking good excuse.
Good for you. I love it. Good stuff. Well, I think that's about it, Thorne, is it not?
It's been a delight and wonderful. Yes. I don't have the right words, but thank you very much, Deborah, for coming.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We've laughed, we've cried, we've taken the piss out of some close personal friends.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful...
It's like any night with girls.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on and being so honest about what sounds, quite honestly, fucking shit.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But I think it's amazing that you're just fucking getting on with it, really.
Get on with it. You don't have an option. Do you know? Yeah. You don't have an option. When you're a mum, you just kind of deal with it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not like parking fines, which you can just shove under the carpet and forget about. God, just don't deal with them.
Can't deal with parking. I'll deal with cancer.
Yeah.
Not parking fines.
All right, fair enough. Good. There we go.
Excellent.
So your column is out every week, is
it? My column's out every week online with The Sun. Watch this space for a book at some point. I will stop banging on about it. Just thank you for the support, actually. And please continue to share your stories with me.
And people can follow you at Bowel Babe.
At Bowel Babe.
You can follow us at Scummy Mummies on all the things. Mm-hmm. Our book is still in print.
Still in print on Amazon. It was £5.50 the other day, Ellie.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
They keep dropping the price by one penny.
One penny, which, I know.
I feel like this is just one dude at Amazon who's just fucking with us.
I know. It's like, £5.53, £5.52, £5.51, now £50.
Yeah.
Who knows where it's going to go next?
Who knows?
Probably
£5.49. Yeah. come and see us doing live shows all over the bloody country this year. It's crackers. So go to scummymummies.com for dates and tickets. And they do sell out the shows, so get in. Basically.
That's right. Get in quick. Thank you for all your support also out there, Scummy Mummies. Thanks for all your confessions and all your likes on the Instagram, etc.
Yes. If you like the podcast, please rate, review and subscribe.
Thank you very much. It really does help.
Yes.
Okay.
That's enough admin. Surely.
Oh, shut up, me.
Yes.
Shut up, you.
Deborah, thanks again. You're fucking
thank
brilliant.
For me.
See you later. Until next. See you later.
See you later. You don't say that, Ellie. I don't like it.
Don't like it. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Wait, ready?
Yep.
Scummy Dickheads by Ellie Twat and Helen Shit.
Is that big number six?
I'm gonna wear my pants. I'm dying.
You're welcome.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.